Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today is Tell Del Tuesday. Another great story for you. Here, close by, out of Katy, Texas, I've got a gentleman by the name of Larry Glover. His wife couldn't make it today, but he's going to carry the load all by himself. Larry and his wife joined here way, way, way back in 2014, and then just 1 year later, they retired. So it's a great story. Currently sitting on around 31 apartment complex with about 6,500 units, and that's after selling, I believe, three of them over the years. So I'm going to bring him on. Larry, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Great accomplishment, Larry. Good stuff. We'll get into that later. Let's talk about where you were at when you first started looking into lifestyles. What was your mindset? Where were you at as a family, financially, work-wise, and so forth, that made you decide to start looking for something different?
Well, Lenora was already retired, and I was approaching retirement age. But as I mentioned to her that I have a real expensive hobby of scuba diving, and it gets more and more expensive every year. So I told her that I didn't see how there's any way I could ever retire. I was going to have to work the rest of my life just so I could go scuba diving. She told me I was wrong. She'd show me how.
Yeah, I remember that way back when, too. I remember you guys coming to the case studies and you telling me that scuba diving was your big thing. So how did this thing progress for you?
Well, as I say, we were approaching my retirement age, and we were looking to get enough investments for me to retire. And we first heard about your show from this radio station, and Lenora convinced me to come to the two-day and listen to it, or come to your first case study thing and then listen to it. And so we signed up for the two-day. At the two-day, we were lucky enough to sit with you at lunch, and we told you what our personal financial situation was, and you gave us advice on what to do, and we followed that advice, and it's been great ever since.
Well, why don't you share that advice? What was it that I thought would work for you guys?
We both had houses that were paid for, and so when we first went through the two-day, you know, we thought, okay, we could just take those two houses and rent them out and start buying houses. Well, when we sat with you and told you what the situation was, you told us, no, that those two houses would make enough money for us to go straight into being passive investors in multifamily. So we pursued doing that. And actually, what helped us, we even met a person at Lifestyles who was also a realty agent. And he helped us sell the two houses. And then since we got to know him, he was also looking to do his first-time deal. So our first deal was with a first-time lead.
So how long would you and Lenora been married now?
2007.
Bad question for a guy, huh?
Yeah.
The only reason I asked is because it appeared if you both had houses that you had, you know, been second marriages type thing. Yeah. And I think, wasn't Lenora the one that told me the story that she wasn't going to let you die or something? I remember a case study. I thought that was her that got up there and said, I'm not letting this one die. Is that a real story?
Yes, it is.
Man, maybe you can share that story, how she came about that. Because she was adamant about it.
She had been married before, and her previous husband passed away, you know, at a young age, and so she was worried about that happening to her again. And, you know, we're both workaholics, so she was concerned about it.
Yeah, well, she let everybody know that. I remember when she did the case study. I'm going to get this guy retired, and I'm going to make sure that he doesn't die off on me. So you're in good hands there, buddy. You're in good hands. Yeah. All right, so let's talk about coming out of the two-day. What did you guys think right out of the two-day besides what I told you at lunch? I told you should go right for it. What did you guys do? How did you line it all up?
Well, I was real negative against everything. You know, she convinced me to come listen to you. I had heard about real estate being good, but I considered it not workable for me, you know, that I wasn't in with the click group that I thought it took to be able to do it. And I was always negative on being in debt. So I always thought debt was bad, and I, you know, drove used cars. I lived below my means. I saved my money. I did spend some money on going scuba diving, but other than that, I saved all my money and stuff. When we listened to you, you know, it sounded good, but when you explained about debt and how debt on a business can actually help you make money, it changed my attitude about what debt was. And I saw where this could actually work for us. You know, it would really be, could really work. And also, the way you spoke really helped me listen to what you were saying, because you didn't come across as just a slick salesman trying to sell me something. You really came across as just telling me the truth and stuff about how things were. And it really helped me to turn myself around.
That's great, because you guys came out of the blocks pretty strong. I mean, the first year you purchased 4 properties?
Right. We actually did 5, but it didn't close till the January of the next year. Those 5 were all yield plays, and they started paying off the first quarter, which helped, because the 5th one had started paying off just before I got laid off. I got laid off before I was going to actually retire. And those 4 were paying enough to cover all, I mean, those 5 were paying enough to cover all of our expenses, and so I didn't have to go look for a job.
Wow, that's amazing. That is amazing. All within 1 year. Yeah. And, yeah, it's hard to believe you can knock it out that quick. Took me 2.5 years. I don't know what I was doing, just messing around or what, but you got right down to it. Well, got it out of the way. So when we look at this, your first 5 deals were yield plays. Was that on purpose? Was that because you were looking to replace your income? Was that your conscious approach?
Yes, we were specifically looking for yield plays because I wanted to get income coming in where I could retire. But even that said, some of those that were yield plays to start with also then, you know, has a value component to them, and they've actually done a really great return.
Well, your returns have been obviously unbelievable. I've got them written down here in front of me, and I'm just looking at them. I don't think anybody even believed the kinds of returns you've made. Let's talk about just theory a little bit more, and we'll get into actual numbers later, but a little more in the theory. As you moved on, did you look to diversify from just yield plays into some value plays, or did you just keep looking at yield plays that turned into value plays?
No, once we had enough income coming in to cover our expenses, then we looked at anything that looked like a really good deal to us. And as we mentioned before, we really looked for the lead first. You know, we wanted to find a really good lead that we could invest with. And then we looked at the deals that they had and seeing if it matched what we wanted to do.
Okay. Did you consider the lead as a standalone vehicle, or was it after a period, not a period, but after a series of deals? In other words, were you willing to look at new leads because you thought they had the integrity to do it, or did you only stick with experienced leads to start out?
No, we looked at whoever we thought would do a good job. Our very first deal was with a first-time lead, but we
had
gotten to know him before we invested with him, and so we were convinced he would be good.
Okay. So you have spread that around also. Well, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about your diversification, how you chose which properties that you thought were the ones you wanted to line up. We're going to take a short break here. When we come back, we'll have Larry and myself cover the, gosh, how many units? 31 properties he still owns, 34 total, which puts him right up there as probably one of the top passive investors in lifestyles. Well, let's go ahead and talk about then for the next 30 seconds here. Did you decide whether or not you should diversify more? In other words, did you want to get with a bunch of different leads as opposed to just being with 1 or 2 or 3?
Yes. You know, a lead, once they find some property, it's going to take them a year or so to get that property up and running before they can actually look for another good set of a property. And we wanted to get our money diversified as quickly as we could. So we were open to any other leads that had really good deals.
That makes sense. So you, it was a timing thing. You had to just punch it through and couldn't wait for the leads to keep up with you. That
right.
Makes a lot of sense. All right, very good. Well, this time we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Larry Glover and the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Mosley talks about finding that one thing that made sense for the lifestyle.
I looked at franchises. I looked at multi-level marketing. I looked at everything in the world. But nothing made as much sense as buying one simple little rental property.
Real estate is your best option. Real estate makes sense. Lifestyles Unlimited will teach you how to buy your first rental property. Join our live online free workshop to find out more. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today is Larry Glover out of Katy, Texas. He's one of what we jokingly refer to as a super passive, sitting here today with 31 apartment complexes, 6,500 units, has sold three of them off, and has worked his way through this portfolio starting in 2014, increased his holdings every single year, even including last year, 2019, picked up eight more deals. So, Larry, you're quite active in this thing. Let's talk a little bit about the deals. Like you said, first of all, you pick the lead. Okay, we got that. You're putting more weight on the lead than you are on the deal. What do you look for in a deal?
Well, we look for what location it's in, what the market is, whether, you know, it'll support that type of thing. And then we look, of course, for the returns and stuff it's going to get and how soon they might be doing a refi. The refis or sales are where we get the money to do new investments from.
So for people that are listening in for the first time or haven't followed us a lot, a refinance is where we own an apartment complex that goes up in value, and we refinance to take out that increased value. We take it out tax-free as a loan. And so in your situation, Larry, you've had quite a few situations where you've refinanced out all or a major portion of what you put into the deal. Is that not true?
Yes.
How do you see it when you give a guy $100,000, he gives you, you know, 10, 12, 15% return on it for a year or two, and then gives you back the $100,000, but you still own the apartment. You still own the same amount of ownership you owned before. Now you're playing with the bank's money. How do you see that? Is that an infinite return to you because you have none of your own money in it? Or is it, okay, I put in $100,000, I got back $100,000 plus 15% return, 115%. Are you looking at it as it's 115% return on your investment? Or are you looking at it as it's an infinite return as of now? Which way do you characterize that?
That's where my wife and I differ. She looks at it the way of seeing the 115% return now. I look at it as an infinite return because I got my money back. It just makes me feel better to look at it that way.
Yeah, there is something about playing with the house money that is quite a good feeling, right? No doubt about that. So let's talk about this. I mean, 2014, four deals. 2015, you retired. 2015, you did 11 deals that year. Refinanced one, got 35% back on that. 2016, you did three deals, got a supplemental loan for a 20% return back to you guys, and refinanced another deal for 110% return after 18 months. 2017, two deals closed, one refinanced at 47% return. 2018, six deals closed, one sold for a 21% return. Heavily damaged from the hurricane. You know, and that's an interesting thing here. Through all of this now, you've been around long enough and been diversified enough different deals. You've been through fires, hurricanes, floods. You've lived through these things occurring at different investments you have, different projects you own. And how have you come out of that?
They all are still in positive cash flow. We had the major flooding was on that first property we had during Hurricane Harvey. It completely flooded the whole first floor of the apartment. And the occupancy went down to like 30%. But the lead had followed Lifestyle's recommendation and had, you know, full insurance on everything. So we were going to be able to come out of it in, you know, at least 18 months to get it refurbished and get it going again. But one of these big companies from outside Houston came in looking for real estate to buy and offered to buy it for us and give us all of our money back in a little bit. So we just sold it and made money on it and moved on.
Man, that's amazing. Real estate is so forgiving if you do it the right way, right?
Yes. And that's one of the things that Lifestyles is good, because it's teaching people how to do it the right way. And that's what we really like about getting us leads that's gone through the lifestyle classes and stuff.
Now, I noticed that you guys do a lot of network. I see you at a lot of events. I guess that's because you're in the city that I live in. What is your feeling about the social aspect of doing this? Because you guys are around a lot.
We think that is key to being able to do all this, is the networking. And that's why we come to the meetings. And I even come to the ones, the acquisition road trips, even though I'm not looking for property myself, because I get to network with other people. I hear what they're doing. I hear, you know, comments about different leads, and you know, get just information.
Okay. So you think that's an important part to get out and do that? Have you done any deals outside of the Houston area?
Yes. So we've recently been diversifying first outside of Houston. We've gone into San Antonio, Lake Jackson, Corpus, places like that. And then also we've recently gone out of state. We've gone into Georgia, into Kentucky, Tennessee. So, yeah, we've been diversifying around even more now.
It's funny. It's just interesting because as you tell me those states, I know which deals they are because I'm in them too.
They're good deals, aren't they?
Yeah, that's the funny part about it. How you know, it's amazing how close we all are as we work through these things together here. Tell us, in your words, what do you think the most important thing is about what you've done? We'll take it from two angles because that is a pretty open-ended question. Let's take it from, first of all, what have you learned about life by doing this that you didn't know until you came here?
Well, there's enough for everybody. And there are really a lot more good people out there than I thought really existed. And a lot of them are in lifestyles, and that's really great.
So the abundance theory is something you enjoy. The openness of the group of people with each other you enjoy. Those are both good things. Now, let's take that and take it one step further. What about your future now? What do you see? Because, I mean, you're retired. You've got plenty of income coming in. What's your goals for the future besides scuba dive every coral reef in the world?
I've pretty much done most of that already. One of the things we're doing is we've got 5 grandchildren that we're going to put through college. And in fact, one of them is just graduating this year right now and getting ready to go for her master's. So being able to help them and do that, I've helped other people in our family and stuff financially, and just being able to do that is really nice.
Yeah, that must feel really good to be able to send all the grandkids to college, man. That's got to really be a good feeling. I know we've just got one grandchild so far, and I think the kid's spoiled to death, but I thought every kid was spoiled to death compared to me, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess it's worth it, you know, the opportunity to spoil the grandkids is a good idea. Looks like we're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Larry Glover and the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today is Larry Glover. He's a real estate investor out of Katy, Texas, passive investor, and currently in 31 different deals with 6,500 units, and has been doing this since 2014. So, Larry, what kind of time commitment has it taken just for the average person out there looking at this thinking, okay, I'm going to take this on? You started before you were retired. Lenore was retired already. What kind of time commitment did it take to get to where you're at? And kind of walk us through each year, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, so forth. How much time would I have to spend to get as far along as you are?
Well, the main thing that took all our time was just attending the meetings and stuff, you know, and getting the network going. So we spent the time on that, which is, what, one Thursday evening and then 2 Fridays of the month. And then as far as actually getting a deal, the most time-consuming part of it was sitting down and reading through the PPM. And at first, you know, that took quite a bit of time. But as we got through some of them, it got to be easier and easier to go through them and, you know, and read them and stuff. Overall, not that much time at all.
Give us an idea how much time were you spending when you first started out and then now.
Okay, on reading the PPM, it takes us a couple hours to go through a PPM.
Okay. So that's where you're reading the documents in the offering and right. figuring out whether or not you want to do the deal or not.
Right.
Then you got what? You got 30 minutes to an hour to do paperwork, to get signed up for the deal, to transfer money and so forth into the deal. Another hour invested. Yeah. And then you're done. At that point, what do you do? Do you track your deals? Like, I know a lot of people are tracking on spreadsheets every deal they have. I know I do. Are you tracking yours?
Yes, Lenore has set up a spreadsheet that is quite extensive on us being able to track everything. And she spent quite a bit of time on it. It's for taking care of it. Maybe like 2 hours a month.
I heard her back there, two hours a month. Oh, I'm tired just thinking about that. It's wearing me out. Busy 2 hours a month. All right. So that's pretty easy at this point, right?
Yes.
What else do you do? I mean, is there anything? I mean, talk about what you're doing. Obviously, Lenora's the talkative one in the family there, so you're going to have to come ahead here and give us some of the information. For instance, all this travel. You've got a lot of travel listed down here. Italy?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
That's part of living the lifestyle with some of our money. We took our 18-year-old granddaughter to Italy for a three-week tour. We traveled all over Italy, saw every major site in Italy there was. We also later on took a Baltic cruise on all through the Baltic, all the countries through there. Even went to St. Petersburg, Russia. And then a couple times in the summer, to get out of the summer heat, we've gone to New Mexico and rented a house up in the mountains and just stayed up there for a few weeks.
How many kids do you guys got all together? You said you had five grandkids. How many kids do you have between the two of you?
Two?
Yeah. Okay. It's not bad.
Yeah.
Easy to take care of. What about your housing and your living quarters? I know that when I talked to you a long time ago, you guys had done some upgrades to your home and stuff. What did you do and how did it make it more comfortable for you?
Well, when we got together, like I said, we had two houses separate, and we had to combine our two houses into one house. So I actually bought a larger house than either of those two. And the upstairs part is one, it's like one story with an upstairs loft. The upstairs is kind of like my man cave. I've got my pool table and all my computers and books and stuff up there. Lenora does a lot of fashion design and sewing and stuff. And she was relegated to the dining room and the library to spread her stuff out. And so it was really cramped for her. So we decided to add on to the house and add a room just for her sewing and all of her stuff. So we added a 600-foot addition onto our house for her to use as a studio.
And that only seems fair.
We had a covered patio put between that addition and our garage, so another 460-square-feet patio area.
You know, I tell you, for myself, I've got a 16,000-square-foot home. 8,000 of it is our personal living space.
Yeah.
And then 8,000 more is my toy area. It really is.
Yeah.
You know, it just. I think when you get to that retirement age, you really the old saying. You know, what's the difference between men and boys? You know, the cost of their toys.
Yeah.
And the space that it takes to lay them all out.
Yeah.
So, that's good. Well, looks like we've got just about everything you want. What is your goal for the future? I know you're trying to get through COVID right now. Everybody's trying to get through that. What are you doing during the COVID thing?
Well, we're staying home, staying safe. I might go out to go to the grocery store, but I make sure I go early in the morning and wear my gloves and mask and stuff. Other than that, we just stay here. You know, we got plenty of stuff here. I've got a lot of books, my computers. She's got her sewing, so we don't have to go out and do anything. We're just trying to build up our cash reserves now. You know, we've got money saved, so we're okay. And actually, even though most of the apartments are not paying distributions at the moment, there are actually a few of them that actually are doing well enough, they actually paid us distributions this quarter.
That's amazing, because I actually was the one that suggested to everybody that you might want to hold off one set of distributions one quarter just in case this COVID thing kept going and got really bad, right?
Yeah.
Everybody that I know that I've talked to so far in Lifestyles that's a lead or an IRO independent owner have found that it wasn't, the cut wasn't as deep as they thought it was going to be, and they're thinking about distributions on this next quarter here, so that seemed to be not as bad. I thought that was going to be much deeper. I thought the bottom was going to fall out, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine them, you know, shutting the country down. To me, just blows my mind. So, but
well,
you know,
the fact that COVID, you can be contagious and not show any symptoms. There's no way to restrict, you know, people moving around and spreading it around. And that was the whole idea of that. They just don't have anything else they can do, you know.
Yeah.
We want to continue investing in, you know, more multifamily. We're not done investing yet. As we start getting more distributions and refis and stuff, we'll invest in more apartments.
You know, Larry, it's an interesting point that you bring up, and let's see how much time I got for this segment here. Yeah, I've got a few more minutes. The older I get, the larger my relationship is between cash and investments. Early on in my life, when I needed the cash flow, I had to have all of my money invested. I had to live on that edge, you know, where I had a little bit of money aside for, you know, day-to-day needs and so forth. But I had a job so I could go work and make some money. But when I got to the point where I had enough income coming in, then I started thinking, okay, let's create a cushion. In case anything terrible goes wrong, we've got a little cash cushion. And as I grew my investments, I started growing my cash cushion with my investments, which is, I think, what you're saying you're doing, right?
Yes. And that's what's helped us get through this downturn right now, is that we had cash reserves that we are relying on.
Yeah, I think that's important, especially as you get older, especially if you don't have a job anymore. If you're truly retired to where you have no earned income coming in, you're going to need some cash reserves, because the stuff always comes back. It always comes through. And because we are a cash flow type investment, you know, you're getting the cash flow. And it was only because, like I said, we had no idea what was going to happen when you shut the entire economy down, that we said, let's just hold. And, you know, what we were doing is on the business levels. And by the way, people, as it sounds like I'm telling you I own all these properties, I don't own any of these properties other than the ones I own in myself or I'm invested with other people. But I'm not running this. As a consultant, I just suggested that, hey, wow, we don't know where this is all going to go. So instead of sending out all these millions of dollars of distributions in the first quarter, let's hold the first quarter distributions to see if the world collapses. Because the theory was, Larry, that I would rather see some people lose some cash flow than some people lose their investments and have their life savings go away because somebody was cash poor, broke at the apartment, had to let the thing go. So luckily we didn't get to that point, and that cash is still sitting there, along with, and we haven't figured this one out yet, how much money was able to be brought in through the PPP loans, which is something we'll have to figure out as time goes on. All right, we'll take one more break. We'll be right back with Larry Glover and the Del Wamsley Radio Show. My friends, how many of you out there right now believe you have a plan? I followed the conventional plan for years, and then the conventional plan blew up in my face. I wonder how many of you can relate to that exact same thing. The real question is, how many of you have actually figured out how to turn that thing around and make it happen?
Do you have a plan? Lifestyles Unlimited has one for you. It's worked for countless others. Retire in 5 years or less. Come learn more. Join us for our live online workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
I'm here today with Larry Glover from Katy, Texas. And Larry, as we get into this last segment here, I'm going to ask you to share with the audience a couple of things. One, when you first started, you said you were a skeptic. share with us how you see it now.
Well, I've completely turned around. When I first started, I'd had bad experience with real estate. I had a small house one time that I decided to rent out because I'd heard how great real estate was, and I was going to be smarter than everybody else. But to make sure I got paid, I rented it out to my friends. So you know how well that went. Then my broker one time convinced me to get into a REIT, you know, one of the real estate investment trusts. So I thought that was great, except he seemed to make a lot of money, but I didn't seem to make very much money off of it. So I was real negative that, you know, this real estate stuff really worked. And now I'm completely turned around. It has been really great. In fact, I remember the first distribution check we got off of our first property and stuff, and it was like, wow, this really works. This is really going to be great.
So what do you tell your friends and relatives now when you talk to them about this stuff?
I tell them they ought to get into it, but most of them still seem to think it must be a scam, even though I keep showing them how well we're doing and what we're making and stuff.
That's interesting. Why do you think that is?
Again, it's that negative thing that everybody has about, you know, big businesses and, you know, everybody trying to sell you something that's got to be a scam and stuff.
All right. So what about relatives? You have any of your relatives involved?
No. I've got a couple of friends that have gotten involved, but none of my relatives have.
Wow. That's interesting.
I know.
It really is. Usually people have somebody that believed them. So you just got that non-believable face, huh?
I guess so.
Oh, gosh. So from this point forward, what do you think you're going to do this year? Are you buying anything during this COVID experience, or are you just sitting on the sidelines waiting?
We're just sitting on the sidelines waiting. We don't have any more refis coming up that we know of, so we have no more money to invest in the moment. Until that starts happening again, we don't have anything to invest.
I got you. Let's see here. I'm trying to figure out, you had 31 deals, and you've picked them up at a few each year. So the refis, have they been coming a little bit each year also?
Well, they really start happening, you know, about 3 years after we started getting into them. You know, like you say, 3 to 5 years, the stuff starts being refinanced or sell. So that's why in 2018, we had 8 refis. And, you know, we're able to turn that money over back in 2019.
Did you make it a point that when the money came out on refis that you put it right back into something else, or did you take some of that money and put it aside for cash?
Well, we always maintained some. We made enough off distributions, we were able to save up our cash and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So pretty much every time we got a refi, we looked for a deal to put the money back into.
Do you have a preference as to what kind of deals, now that you've gone through them, that you prefer?
We're turning back to yield plays just because as we're getting older, we're looking, you know, for the cash return and stuff. We've done some value plays that turned out real well, but some of them took like 24 months before they paid out. Tending to stay away from the deep value plays right now.
Yeah, I don't seem to see as many of those around, to be honest with you. It seems like we've grabbed up and captured as many things as we possibly could for the last 10 years. I think since 2008. It's been nothing but blowing and going for Lifestyles and the members here. So we're, what is that, 10 years? Oh, it's 20. It's 12 years worth of just grabbing and buying and rehabbing and flipping and selling and moving along. So it's a lot of stuff's been done. That's why I like the idea of going all over the country. To me, it seemed like it was the next step for Lifestyles because it allowed us to diversify our purchase ground. We had, you know, stuff in markets where we weren't at sucking everything up. You know, in other words, we became our own competitive disadvantage because we were buying everything there was.
Yeah.
And when we got to start spreading that out across the country, things got a lot better for us, I think. And we started seeing people, like you said, you got some Tennessee stuff. You got any Georgia stuff? How many different states are you in now?
Georgia, Kentucky, and Tennessee.
Tennessee? You haven't done any Phoenix stuff yet?
No, we haven't. We've looked. We just had the time we had money. We didn't find anything.
Yeah, we got some Phoenix stuff. We got Michigan stuff now.
Wow.
We got some Carolina stuff. We got some Florida stuff. So it's starting to spread out a little bit more.
Our problem is that where we like to meet the lead first, it's hard for us to meet a lead out of state. And that's where, like, at the expo was really good because we were able to meet people from other areas and stuff.
Yeah, that does work well at the expo each year. There's no doubt, especially if you concentrate on ones out of town since you know the other ones. That's a good idea. There's also videos online. There's a list online of people from out of town and so forth, and you can look them up. And I think if you watch the different out-of-town case studies and videos and so forth, you can get some information about the people. But you're right, the expo is a really, really effective way. You know, we videotaped a lot of that stuff for years so people could pick that up from anywhere and follow that. It looks like we're coming here to the end of the show, so I wanted to find out, is there anything else you'd like to share with people? You've got massive experience here. What could you share with people?
One of the great things that Lifestyle has done for us is just give us a feeling of financial security. You know, we don't have to worry about what something costs or something that comes up. We only have to worry about handling, taking care of it. We don't have to put off something until next payday or do without something. You know, we've got the finances to take care of whatever happens to us. And that is really a great feeling. And, you know, I just tell everybody, you need to take that first step. You need to start doing it.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys coming on today. And again, the peace of mind. What's not the money? It's that lifestyle. Have a great day. Thank you, Larry. And for all the rest of you out there, see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.